and also to introduce the sermon today is our pastor, Mr. Jim Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming, and let me greet all with a great big happy Sabbath to all on the telephone and the internet. I think it's a blessing to be able to come and communicate that way, as scattered as we are. And I welcome all of you to the Church of God in Truth. It's this Sabbath, God's Sabbath, that we can do this. And we really do appreciate that avenue that he's given us to be able to travel on here. I do pray that all of you are having a beautiful Sabbath day. We are here in Missouri having a nice one. It's going to be up in about the 80s today somewhere. And temperatures are dropping down into the 80s and the 70s now during the days and nights. So it's cooling off, which I'm very happy about. And not having to be in the sweaty weather here as it's been, humid, because it does get humid here, just like it does in many of your areas where you live. But anyway, I do again wish all of you a happy Sabbath, and thank you for being here with us. I usually try to start announcements off with the prayers and updates of those that we hear about and those that we know of and so forth. And I want to just pass this along to you that Mr. Fleming, Pete, who you introduces us to music here on the God Sabbath, he will be having surgery on Friday, the August the 24th, to repair a hernia problem. And so I'm asking all of you, as he is, to keep him in your prayers, that it will be a successful hands of the doctors that's going to be taking care of that, and that it will be a quick healing afterwards. And so knowing that he's got to go back to work and he can't go into full schedule of the work that he was carrying before this operation, but it's take a couple of weeks, it sounds like, for the final healing to really where he can get back to doing his regular duties that he works during the day. So yeah, do keep him in your prayers, because I know he appreciates that very, very much. And knowing that we have a great God that paid a price for us to be able to come and ask him for that help in that healing. Well, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets is on September the 9th, just not that far away, 3 weeks away. And it means the Feast of Tabernacle is only 5 weeks away. So you can see we're coming on these days that are very, very shortly before us. And knowing we've got a Day of Atonement in between there as well to take care of, that's when we all try to kind of put our blind eye to. but we know that God has asked us to do that on that particular day, and so we will be coming together on Atonement as well. And so that'll all fit into the fall holy days here as we come towards them. this week on the weekly letter, we sent out a daily schedule for the fall holy days and the Feast of Tabernacle services. So if you did not receive one, just please let us know. You will be getting it. It's in the mail to some of you, and some of you have already gotten it off of the internet. And so it's there. And if you don't get it, just let us know so we can get one sent to you and get it into your hands, because it is a schedule for the feast. And you'll know what times we're going to be on the phone and when we're not going to be on the phone, be on the internet and not on the internet. So that would be something for your convenience that schedule is, because we're going to try to follow it unless something comes up. And with a small group as we are, we can change things very quickly without really hurting that much. And so anyway, we're going to be following that schedule unless something comes up that we've got to change it. So it'd be something that I think it'd be good for you to have in your hands, knowing when we'll be connecting up and when we will not be. Well, I would like to encourage all of you to refresh your thinking on God's invitation to you. You know, it's found there in Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. It'd be good to go over those in your Bible study this week. You might also put down Luke 14, verses 15 to 24. Because this is the parables of the marriage feast. And in Matthew 22:14 enlightens us with, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Well, these are all things what God says we're to put on a new man. And these are all the things that fit into that category. And that's why God's given us his whole book, the Bible, an instruction book that we need to be following. And so anyway, there's a couple of areas that I would like for you to look at, meditate on, and think about, and because I know I've got to do the same thing, and I have been doing some of that already. But anyway, I ask you to do the same. I know that Luke 14 talks about excuses for not accepting the invitation, and so those are things that we need to think about, knowing that we've still got a few days here before trumpets and atonement and Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. Okay, well, that kind of closes me down on the announcements. I want to ask all of you to make sure you press your button to keep everything silent here on the star six, to keep everything silent on the phone for the message and for the song service as well as the prayers. And we did hear some talking on the phone when we first started there, but it sounded like that got taken care of and corrected, and so we thank you very much for that. It becomes needs to become a habit in your connecting with us, and I know I sometimes mess up myself, so it's very easy to do. But anyway, today we're going to be hearing the message from Puerto Rico. I've heard they had a little bit of rain this week, which has been nice for them, as long as it isn't too heavy. And so hopefully it's a nice day today for them there. And so with that, we're going to be hearing from Mr. Martinez, who is going to be in this home nice and dry. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Hello, brethren, and a very happy Sabbath to you all. It is interesting in how people answer the following question. What's the best advice you have ever received? As we finish the sermon today, you will see that the Bible has a lot to say about this. But there was a person who was a writer and author called Marilyn Robinson. She won a Pulitzer Prize. And she says that the most important lesson she ever received came from some teachers when she was a child. They told her, you have to live with your mind your whole life. So that was something I found. If we have to live with our minds our whole life, brethren, what will you do with it? What will you expose it to? What will you fix it on, if you fix it on anything? I recommend to expose our minds to the book and fix our minds on it. And that book happens to be the book of Proverbs, that will help us live with our minds in a life-enhancing way. The Proverbs figure short sayings based on a broad observation. So what a better place to start than going to Proverbs chapter 1, and let's read the first 6 verses. Proverbs chapter 1, reading 1, verse 1 to 6, reading from the New King James. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. to understand a proverb and enigma. The proverbs, mostly were written by Solomon, contains important instructions on how to live. And they are not obsolete. We have the possibility to gain much from Proverbs that will help us make our way through life, even if we have a few decades in our backs, that we are no longer that young. Therefore, we have much to learn from the Proverb that is extremely practical, especially in today's society. Solomon uses multiple words to describe what can we gain from Proverbs. It is as if he's exhausting the language to make his appeal. Wisdom, instruction, insight, wise dealing, prudence, knowledge, discretion, learning, guidance. What else do you want in life if you understand all those things? But how are we going to gain from what the book offers us? It says we must receive instruction. We must hear. We must give attention to the Proverbs. So that means we must read about them. We also must listen. To be instructed, of course, you must listen to and also assimilate the instruction you are learning. And you probably say, it's easier said than done. Especially in this day, for at least two main reasons. First, the Proverbs often don't reveal their treasures at first glance. They are pretty terse statements that invite the learner to engage pros and founder to get at the deeper meaning that lies below the surface. It's a beautiful treasure in them, but you have to scratch it real deep. Secondly, therefore, to benefit from the Proverbs, we have to give them our time and attention. We must fix our minds on the book of Proverbs. Secondly, who wants to give their time and attention to such an exercise where this means when you can be more easily and instantaneously engaged by the internet, social media, TV, movies, and the like. We have reached the point in a world where if something doesn't engage you instantly, it sometimes requires sustained concentration. Isn't worth your time. Basically, people don't like to concentrate anymore. For today, most people would rather be entertained than instructed. We live in an age of distraction, disruption, and interruption. We all need to wonder if our minds today would be in a better place if we had watched less television, talking about a few of us who are kind of old. Many insiders in the tech industry today are lamenting what they have brought to life for us in our society. I don't know if you're familiar with the name, but somebody called Sean Parker, S-E-A-N, the founding president of Facebook, 14 years ago said, you could look it up, I'm quoting here, the top process that went into building these applications, talking about Facebook here, being the first of them, Facebook of course, was all about, and he says, how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. So from the beginning, most of these social media, they want to consume much of the user's time and the conscious as possible. Now, 14 years later, the same person, Mr. Sean Parker, says of social media, and I'm quoting again, God only knows what is doing to our children's brain. So here, a person finally realized that it wasn't a good idea to begin with. Perhaps, given our consumption of media, etc., Netflix and the like, we might want to devote a little more of our time to scriptures and, of course, to Proverbs. So are the Proverbs worth the effort? Let's see. Well, to begin with, Proverbs contains instruction, lots of it. Reading now Proverbs, verse 7 of chapter 1. Verse 7 of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This verse represents the essential instructions of the Proverbs for us. And you will probably be asking, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord is to be captivated by Him, to be in awe of Him, to be overwhelmed by Him, not only by His power, but also by His goodness. When God's people encounter Him in the Hebrew Scriptures, their first response is fear and trembling. However, invariably, some assurance comes their way, often accompanied by a commission. When we fear the Lord, we hold the attributes of God together, both His power and His love, both His holiness and also His goodness. What does the fear of the Lord get us? In the book of Proverbs, it gets us knowledge. That is knowledge that matters for the way we think, the way we make decisions, the way we relate to other people, and the way that we live. By the way, the companion verse to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 is also found in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. You could put it in your notes and you could just go there for a second. The component of Proverbs 1 and verse 7 is found on Proverbs 9 and verse 10, where it says, reading the two together now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding. The kind of knowledge that the fear of the Lord gives us is wisdom for life. The most important knowledge we can acquire comes from the fear of the Lord. So, brethren, if we want wisdom for life, the most important knowledge that we can acquire, the Proverbs tell us to worship the Lord, to draw near Him, and stand in awe or admiration of His greatness. This kind of knowledge is available to everyone and is completely unrelated to one's IQ or grateful hours. There are millions of brilliant men and women in this world who despise wisdom and instruction. And that's how the Proverbs calls them. They are called fools. So I tell you, don't be a fool instead. Fear the Lord. As we fear the Lord, we recognize that He is trustworthy. That we can believe that His instructions in the Scriptures, not the least in the Proverbs, are for our benefit. What happens if we don't listen to His instructions, you might be asking? Well, there are going to be consequences for not listening. Let's read verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." If we turn our Bibles to verses 15 through 18 of Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 15, we read, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet runs to evil, and they may haste to shed blood. Surely, in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They live secretly for their own lives." Also, reading now verse 29 through 32 of Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 29, we can read, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they will have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Solomon advises us to listen to instruction, specifically the instruction to fear the Lord. However, there are those who offer different, of course, they would entice us to walk in the way with them, and ultimately to run to evil with them. They lure or bait to do it, whatever it is. It's done when most people seem to be doing it, and when those people seem to be enjoying themselves. Like they say today, there are security masses, but that's not true. Wasn't true before either. The bait or lure then becomes especially strong when some of those people invite you to join them. And of course, some of those people are enticing you through your device to click on this. Because now in our days we have electronic devices that they don't have to be in front of us. They will make us do some tricks that we don't know what is behind of them. But notice what happens to these individuals. It says in the verses we just read, lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for our own lives. They will eat the fruit of their way. They will have their fill on their own devices. By their choices, they will harm themselves. In the book of Proverbs, when you sin, you're not only sinning against God, you're not only sinning against others, you also sin against yourself. You harm yourself, in case you didn't realize it. So there are consequences for not listening. Are there rewards for listening? Indeed they are. Let's read about the rewards for listening. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, it says, hear my son, your father instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pillars for your neck. And in verse 10, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And in verse 20 and 21 of Proverbs 1, it says, wisdom cries loud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. And if we jump to verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 1, it says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely, very safe, and will be secure without fear of evil. Or like some other translation says, without dread of disaster. Brethren, the wisdom imparted in the Proverbs, it says, it cries loud. It cries and speaks where people are, in the markets, in the busy streets, and in the city gates. If sinners will entice people, wisdom cries out to be heard. So the Eternal always provides an escape if we are really looking for Him. The instruction in the book of Proverbs, in this case, coming from parents, because we all were born from Paris, is likened to a grateful garland or crown for your heads and pendants or necklace for your neck. Both crowns and necklace are beautiful, and the instruction of the Proverbs is hidden will make you a beautiful and graceful person. Also, crowns and necklaces were worn by kings and princes, so the instruction of the Proverbs will also help you reign in your own life. You can put in your notes Genesis chapter 41 and verse 42, also Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29. The wisdom of the Proverb will help us deal with fear, because if we follow it, if we will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster or fear of evil. Wisdom will not necessarily lessen the possibility of disaster. I want to make that clear. But it will enable us to be secure in God and trust in Him in the face of disaster, knowing that God is sovereign over disaster, and that even He uses disaster to advance His goodness purposes. Brethren, fear the Lord, and we will not need to fear anything else in life. Remember that. In the end, the vast majority of the decisions most of us have to make have nothing to do with whatever we dress or act or pretend or not pretend. They contribute to the kind of person you are becoming, whether you are becoming a beautiful and graceful person who reigns in life and draws secure, or whatever you eat the fruit of your own way and have the feel of your own devices. Interesting, huh? In closing now, let's say that indeed Proverbs chapter 1 and the rest of the book of Proverbs encourage us to take the long view. Not the short view, but you have to look beyond what is in front of us and you. Brethren, God has given us parents and other trusted adults in our lives who have or have lived longer and have seen the long-term implications of choices in their own skin, both for good and bad. Plus, unlike us today, they have fully developed natural defenses which control the functioning of the brain for them. In our case, technology was not the norm back then, but for us, technology is the norm. So we have to be very careful and also to listen to our parents and to other people, because they have the constantly society telling them what to do and what is right and what is wrong. Remember Proverbs 1 and verse 8, where it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." and forsake not your mother's teaching. By now, if we study the book of Proverbs, you're probably going to have a saying. Well, I have a saying that I use now and then. If Proverbs speak your choice says based on a broad observation, let me make such an observation and offer such a saying. So what is my saying, you might be asking? Guess what? It's the same saying as Solomon's, and that is, fear the Lord. That is the sermon. Again, a very happy Sabbath to you all. I pray.